podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Tony Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Watching the Formula One drivers' market moves, when it works well, is like watching a wonderful game of chess being played. And when it's done poorly, it's like school kids on their lunch break trying to organise whose team they're going to be on for a kickabout. And it's, I think, the second option that we're in right now. Let's try and, in 30 seconds, recap where we are. Sebastian Vettel took to social media to announce his retirement. Aston Martin moved quickly to snap up Fernando Alonso, or maybe it was the other way around. Maybe they approached him. No one really knows. And then all hell broke loose with what should have been a very easy decision for Alpine, which is their reserve driver, their Friday man, the development driver, Oscar Piastri, taking a year out, Formula 2 champion, and moving him into to Alonso's seat. That should have been the easiest thing. And somehow we're talking about Ricciardo and McLaren as part of this conversation. Let's try and work out where we are today. On Wednesday, just to timestamp it, because things are changing quickly. I'm joined by Matt Q, Alex Kalinokis, and Luke Smith to discuss. Matt, what have you made of the... Well, we haven't spoken since Alonso announced his thing on Monday morning, so give us your thoughts on where we are at the minute.
Oh, it's just so fast-paced. It's brilliant, isn't it? We had a point where, you know, Vettel sort of kiboshed Thursday at the Hungarian Grand Prix, and we thought that was busy. And then along comes Alonso, who's obviously working super fast in the background. Interesting that I spoke to someone in Aston, they're like, no, news took us by surprise as well. And then Alonso's getting announced, what, 3 days later. So that, we believe, is a time frame in which he goes to Stroll and the paperwork, or enough of the paperwork, is done. So really, really fast paced. And we were talking about whether that's sort of an unprecedented time schedule for such a marquee signing to be sorted. And then what we've had, you know, we thought McLaren out in IndyCar with Alex Palau, they were the ones sort of facing the legal wranglings with driver contracts. And then, so it seems with Alpine, they wait for Mark Webber, Oscar Piastri's manager, to be asleep in Australia, and then they say he's been tapped up. And in the wording of the tweet that comes out, we knew from the statement there was no comment from Piastri, which raises red flags. And then not only has Piastri said, you know, I'm not a part of this, but he's categorically said I will not be driving for Alpine as well. So he's sort of really nailing his colours.
Yeah, and burning bridges there as well. Alex, I'd like to say you called it, because we did a podcast on... You did call it. We did a podcast last week when the Vettel news broke with you and Kevin, myself, and we were talking about who do Aston sign. And you said, look, Stroll wants a big shiny thing, and that's how, or a new shiny thing, and that's how you described Fernando Alonso. Your point was, for anyone who hasn't listened to that podcast, Aston have ambitions bigger than having two young up-and-coming drivers. They want a marquee name. No swapping a multiple world champion for a multiple world champion. So you said Alonso, and I didn't believe you, and you're absolutely right. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. But to be fair, I also then went, but it's extremely unlikely, because why would Fernando Alonso want to go to Aston Martin, which is a point I still stand by.
Why do
Because he's got been offered a lot of money, and I think that reflects exactly what Lawrence Stroll would do. I kind of understand it from Alonso's point of view. You know, we know that he wants to target this third world title, but maybe he's realised it might not be forthcoming, so why not bank the money. I think also what's happened, you know, Key, you mentioned the speed of the decision, or the speed, the lack of time between the Vettel announcement and the Alonso announcement. I think that reflects how Lawrence Stroll works. He's just like, right, being decisive, this is what I want, this is what's going to be good for the team. It ticks that box of, it has the PR value of a world champion. The theory is that Alonso could drive the team forward. It reflects what I think Stroll probably would like to do, and Alonso wanted to be in it as well, and that's what's happened.
And Luke, what's your thoughts on how Alpine are coming out of this at the minute? Because they had a problem of 3 into 2 don't go, right? So they've got Oscar Piastri on the sidelines, they've got their Frenchman driver signed up on a long-term deal. They didn't commit to Alonso. They thought it, well, publicly they said it was going to be an easy 10-minute conversation. What's your reading on the Alonso side of it?
I think that Alpine have somehow lost 2 brilliant drivers in the space of 48 hours, which is quite incredible. I think that a lot of it does come down to, I think, the obsession with keeping Fernando Alonso in this team. They were so determined to keep him, and they thought that everything was agreed and everything was on the table. And Otmar Szafnauer said there was a 1+1 contract tabled. We know Fernando wants something a little bit longer than that. The money was agreed, and he said it was only fine details. And on Sunday night, Otmar says he was told by Alonso, don't worry, I've not signed with anyone else, which was a lie, of course. By then, he had signed with Aston Martin. Szafnauer found out when we all did, when the press release dropped from Aston Martin, saying, you've lost your star driver. But the time that has taken, that has sort of caused this frustration in the Piastri camp to brew and brew, because they want to know what he's doing next year. There's been various sort of time-sensitive clauses within his contract as well. And in that time, McLaren has come along and shown an interest, and that's led to sort of conversations going on there. And it appears something now being signed. And now Oscar's statement saying, I will not be driving for Alpine next year. It's a really messy situation. And Alpine are doubling down, saying, no, the contract is watertight and he's ours. We're going to have him. It's, and I think Alpine, they don't come out of this very well, because now it looks like they might have lost their 2-time world champion, who they were like putting so much of their efforts into. Their amazing young driver who has a CV, the envy of everybody in the Formula One grid, whose career they have funded and helped support. And now who are they going to get in the cockpit? And because most of the other good options are now gone for next year, they're in a really, really bad situation that kind of looks like all their own doing.
I think surely a head has got to roll for this, whether it's falls directly under Laurent Rossi's responsibility or Otmar, to lose 2 drivers like this in such a public way, and them clearly not being abreast of the situation. I think, you know, Otmar, I'm not saying it's directly his responsibility, but that team principal role at times can be sort of the sacrificial lamb almost. So whether or not he goes, and I want to come back to the length of the contract as well, as Alonso obviously had his years out of F1. He was still making the headlines with IndyCar and winning in sports cars, but I do wonder, you know, his age, he's been not relevant for a little while. He sat on the sidelines, now he's back in, and it's all about securing that for as long as possible. So I think the 2-year swing the 2-year deal is decisive. And I will say, like, I know from contacts at Alpine, without saying too much, they had plans to celebrate the career of Fernando Alonso and what he's done for that Enstone team with stuff they're working on away from F1. That's all been kiboshed now. So it's, yeah, again, they didn't see it coming at all.
They've been completely taken by surprise. And then we saw Otmar's comments about, I've not spoken to Fernando. I think he's on the Greek Isles somewhere or something like that. And then Fernando then posted an Instagram story when this is all kicking off, tagging Oviedo. It again speaks to this sort of growing rift I think there has been there at Alpine. Like, things clearly have not been rosy, and this is it coming now into the public eye. Once we get back to Spa, I'm really looking forward to that Thursday media day and getting sucked into the media sessions, because there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of things to say.
So those Instagram geotags can be off. I tagged a wine bar near where I live in Wanstead, and it came up in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Wow.
How well that gone wrong.
Global traveller you are.
Well. Yeah, get around. Don't
I? Him out there eating tapas and pilo. Yeah, definitely in Spain.
Alex, how have McLaren been dragged into all of this? Because somehow they're being dragged in. And actually, some people thinking McLaren are not coming off too well out of all of this in terms of the way they're treating Daniel Ricciardo.
I mean, I think from that point of view, Ricciardo probably should have scored some better results for them. It's a results business. It's a cutthroat business. I don't see why McLaren is coming off badly here from my point of view. I think that it's interesting. It's like it's sort of blue on blue. It's Australian on Australian, which is a bit unfortunate. But essentially what it boils down to is, as far as we're aware, when it looked like Alpine were going to have Ocon and Alonso for 2023, there's supposed to be, or apparently there's a clause in the contract that Piastri had, which is if you don't guarantee me a 2023 drive by this certain point, potentially, judging by the timings of how this has all worked out, midnight on the 31st of July or the 31st of July, things like that. You see how the timings have gone. And effectively, the suggestion is that his manager, Mark Webber, another Australian, we were at Mark Webber, where he was there, we invited to Oscar's 21st birthday when we were in Melbourne.
Mark Webber, someone who gets on famously with Fernando Alonso as well.
Wow, indeed. The suggestion is he went to McLaren and said, well, Oscar's essentially available because Alpine haven't, given him the race drive that we were sort of edging for. And at the same time, McLaren is clearly disappointed in Ricciardo. That was evident by what Zak Brown said in Monaco. I think, the race team maybe feel slightly different, but you don't come out as the sort of company boss and make the comments that he did if he's not under pressure. The problem is that he, the understanding is, has a contract for next year and it's on him. So if he wants to stay at McLaren, he exercises the option and he will stay there. But that doesn't mean Piastri doesn't go to McLaren anyway, because it could have said to Webber and Piastri, you'll be reserve driver next year, but we guarantee a race drive in 2024. Now, why would it be doing that if it's got all its IndyCar drivers and, I think it's an unfortunate coincidence, or who knows, but they're having the same thing as Matt said with Alex Palou in IndyCar. That in itself could just be a negotiating tactic for 2023, that it ends up being Ricciardo goes, well, I'm not wanted, I'm not getting the results, maybe I go back to Alpine and Piastri does go there for 2023. But that's how McLaren are in it. In terms of an F1 sense, I don't think they come across badly at all. They just do it. It's business at the end of the day.
They're also looking at the long game, and if that door was shut and the alternative was Williams, and I think the Piastri camp are a bit like, not really sure about Williams. Like, is that really a good option? Are we better off taking that year out and then committing that we've got a good race drive for 24? And it's also that he would be a McLaren driver. And I think for that lineup moving forward, Norris and Piastri, that's really exciting. That's a really good combination. But I think that, okay, you don't want to spend 2 years out, but then again, McLaren will put him through an intense testing program. We've seen what they're doing with their TPC stuff for the likes of Colton Herter. Pato Award's going to get some running in that as well. So they would look after him. And yeah, 2 years out, it's not exactly what you want. But I think that the Piastri camp would probably think in the long term, it's the better shout than, say, going to Williams for next year and sort of, being there.
And how come Alpine are still saying, oh, we think, it was a couple of days after it now, or a day when we record this later, why are Alpine still saying publicly, they've pulled back on their statements a little bit, but just, no, we have a contract in place, like he'll be our driver. He said he will not drive for them. Is it going to go to arbitration and all those things, do you think? And
well, if you look at the precedent set by IndyCar, then yeah, absolutely. Palau's team putting out legal statements, although curiously about his relation to F1 rather than it was about IndyCar. But yeah, I think it will go that far. It's very, very public. Piastri saying, I will not drive. He, as we've said, he wasn't quoted directly in a press release. I don't know whether it's a knee-jerk reaction to go, we've been made to look foolish by what's happened with Alonso. We need something as soon as we can, communicate something as soon as we can. And they've obviously got their legal understanding of the contract and believed it's watertight. And there's obviously a dispute over that. But it was hastily put together, and this will rumble on and on and on. And, I know nothing is decided yet in terms of the McLaren seat or the Alpine seat, but potentially it can impact things in the future if those bridges are burnt already. You don't know how it comes around.
I would also wonder, what does this mean for, Oscar said that now. If this isn't sorted quickly, we go to Spa. What's that relationship like? Because they have been so big on saying Oscar's our future, he's the man we want. I mean, Alex and I, we've been to some karting events with Alpine this year, and Oscar is always there, and he's very much sort of a public face of the team. And it's like, and now that relationship, he said, I don't want to race for you guys. Like, it's really, really fractured. And I think that it's a battle of, can you, if a driver doesn't want to race for you, what does that say? Even if you said, well, here's your contract, it doesn't exactly sow seeds for a happy relationship in the future. So it's it's really, really messy. I do wonder if maybe seeing how things rumble on the next few weeks, everyone may say, right, let's put our arms down and talk about this and get something sorted so people are as happy as can be. But I think either way, Alpine are losing big time in this.
But also for Piastri himself, he's already a meme on the internet. All the brands are getting involved.
It's a rubbish way to start his F1 career, isn't it?
And it might not last forever, but he's a young guy. It's not a situation that he himself would have engineered, surely. But yeah, it is. I'm not saying he's a joke, but the situation is a joke, and it's got his name all over it. It's not great, is it?
And I saw he was liking the tweets about like Mercedes were making jokes and putting, you know, funny pictures up, and he's liking.
Ryanair did a really good one we saw as
and
well,
and he's liking those tweets, right? So he's involved in the whole situation. And as somebody posted yesterday online, a picture of Otmar in 2005 in Honda gear, because BAR Honda Williams fighting over Button, who wanted to break a contract and move, that went to arbitration, or Formula One's version of that, BAR Honda won, and Otmar was the head of the autosport, the motorsport division at Honda at that time. So, like, none of these guys are new to contracts. This is not his first rodeo, and he's won in the past. But as you say, if a driver doesn't want to race for you, like, you can't strap them in to the seat and say drive fast. So it's a real messy situation. And again, you know, all the management has changed at Enstone, so that team losing Daniel Ricciardo in the way that it did, the war of words that happened there, that was a messy end with their star driver. At the time, Daniel Ricciardo's star was still very, very, you know, in the ascendancy almost, because he'd formed that team around him and was starting to do pretty well. He jumped ship to McLaren. All new management at Enstone, Renault, Alpine name. And then if you zoom out a little bit, just to get your final thoughts on this, to sort of the 1,000-feet view, we've got other teams that haven't sorted their seats yet, Haas and Williams, etc. And then the 10,000 feet of view, you've got VW Group investment, you know, possibly Audi coming in, Porsche coming into the sport. So Aston are talking about a 5-year plan to be championship winning teams. So how do you think this is playing out in the wider scheme? Final word, kind of Alex, just your thoughts on this kind of this bigger setting itself up for the future, and these drivers that we're going to have in Formula One, Lando, George, Oscar, this kind of next generation, everyone's kind of posturing to get those drivers in their teams.
Well, I think for Lando Norris and George Russell, doesn't change much at all. Oscar Piastri, presumably he gets a drive, his talent will shine through. But what it really does cement, particularly the fact that Alonso jumped ship, is things do not look good for Alpine, because Aston is still rebuilding. It's doing its redoing its factory, a lot of investment there. Alpine already did that. They completely changed the Enstone base. People were talking about, you know, they'd worked there years ago, came back to the team, couldn't even find their way around the factory because the buildings had physically changed so much. So if all that investment's gone on and Alonso's still thinking, why should I stay? I don't, you know, the money's enough to tempt me away, and this one's a building project. It's not like Alpine are at the front of the field. So ultimately, the whole situation, it's a disaster.
And who could Alpine go racing with, Luke, next year if it's not Oscar Piastri?
I mean, yeah, I've seen suggestions of Pierre Gasly. That's definitely not happening.
Why not? A French team? A French driver?
He's under contract with Red Bull and for AlphaTauri. And although there's no future for him at Red Bull, then I think that they wouldn't be looking to let him go. B, the personality clash would not work between him and Esteban Ocon. So I think that probably wouldn't happen. I think Daniel Ricciardo, that'd be my, if I was going to say who right now will be racing for Alpine next season, I say, yeah, Ricciardo's going to go back to Enstone.
He'd go back. He knows a lot of the people there, even if the top level management have changed.
And I think that, but that change also means that the wounds have healed from a couple of years ago. Otmar Szafnauer has spoken and said that there would be no issue bringing Daniel back. So that I reckon is the most likely outcome in this.
And some good seats on the grid, Williams and Alex Albon staying there, but no news on second seat.
Not yet, no. But again, that is something that they were looking at Piastri to partner Albon for next year. That obviously has not happened. And now I think they can look to maybe Formula 2, Logan Sargeant, their young American driver. I mean, that would have a big appeal for their American owners, but also for Formula 1 as a whole. I think that would be a good move if they went for it. Nick De Vries is another option, the Formula E champion. He's done an FP1 for them this season. He was on the shortlist for last year before they went for Alex Albon. So I think Williams, they've got a couple of options, but if I were them, I'd maybe bide my time and just see how this sort of Alpine McLaren situation plays out. And if anyone falls through the cracks, they might say, well, it's us or nothing. And yeah, do you want to keep racing in Formula One? We could offer you a home.
Wowee. What an amazing couple of days in Formula One. The start of the summer break has been anything but fantastic. Let us know what you think about all of the driver moves and who should be racing where. We'd love to hear from you right now. Thank you very much for listening to the.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Autosport Podcast, and we'll see you on the next one.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
You've always had what it takes to make it happen, and we know the right tools can make it easier. At Strayer University, we're always thinking about new ways to set you up for success. That's why we give you a brand new laptop when you enroll in a bachelor's program, so you can start off on the right foot and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Eligibility rules, restrictions, and exclusions apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by Chef.
Sports Social Podcast Network.